secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. And that's so true, isn't it? That's an old song. I can remember as a little boy growing up in church, and my church singing that. My pastor loved that song. I think it is no secret, and Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Were his two his favorites, Brother Reverend Wayne Brashear at Urban Park Assembly of God, and what a great, great man of God. He served the Lord. He served as senior pastor of that church at the same location for 55 years. 55 years. He was a great, great example to me, and I'm so thankful that I knew him and his dear wife, Rosella, who's still with us and serving the Lord, and what a neat lady she is as well. Well, if you have your Bibles today, please turn into the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 18. We also have it on the PowerPoint for you as well, so you can see this scripture. The sermon is about dry cleaning, as you can see already. Triple A dry cleaning. You're saying, what does that have to do with the Word of God? Just stay with me today, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. In everything, it says, doesn't it? Everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. A lady bowed her head. She was at a restaurant. She bowed her head to give thanks for her food. And she says, thank you, Lord, for these victuals. And there was a lady sitting beside her, just a table over. She said, ma'am, she says, what exactly are victuals? I've never heard of victuals. And the lady said, well, they're the blessings that God gives me, my food to eat. And the other lady says, well, don't you know that you're going to have that food to eat whether you thank God for it or not? Don't you know that? And the lady's response was very instructive, I believe. She says, well, perhaps so, but everything tastes better when I'm thankful. That is still true today, isn't it? Everything tastes better. We ought to have the attitude of this little girl. Her father was a disc jockey at a radio station, radio announcer. And she was invited over to a friend's house for dinner. And the mom and dad asked the little girl if she would pray over the meal. And she said, oh, I'd be honored to pray over the meal. And remember, her daddy was a disc jockey. So the family sits down at the table, and they're ready to pray over the meal. The little girl clears her throat. She looks at her wristwatch, and in the best booming voice she's got, she says, this food, friends, is coming to you by the courtesy of Almighty God. Well, she was right. She was right because all food we eat comes by the courtesy of our Heavenly Father, Almighty God. Amen. Psychologists tell us that a thankful perspective, gratitude, is the healthiest of all human emotions. Studies have shown that gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other emotion in life. Gratitude does. The English root word for gratitude is the same root word for the word grace. Think about it. Grace and gratitude are really twin sisters, so to speak. The words think and thank. You still with me now? The words think and thank, they come from the same root word also. So when we think, when we stop and we reflect on the grace of God in our life, then we automatically are thankful and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many times blessings just bypass us because we don't think. We don't stop and think about those great blessings. Well, let's pause this morning and think about how grateful we are for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. How grateful we are that He took all the sins on the cross that we deserve. How grateful we are that because we know Christ is our Savior, our home will be heaven and that we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Oh, we should be so grateful and be giving thanks today for our salvation. My aunt and uncle Ed and Nora Orr were just precious, precious people, people of God, and they just were really special to me. And Nora was my father's sister. They would often have me in their home and spend weekends with them, and they lived in Mesquite, Texas. In fact, when my stepfather asked me to leave home when I was 17 years old, it was my aunt and uncle, Ed and Nora Orr, that opened their home to me and asked me to come and stay with them. And what an incredible blessing it was that they opened their home up to me. I needed a place to live, and they were so special and good to me. Well, they owned a business. They owned the AAA dry cleaners. The AAA dry cleaners was on the old square in Mesquite, Texas. If you've ever been to the square, years ago, the big deal on the square was the Texan Theater. It's still there. They do some other live shows there now. I saw many a cowboy movie in the Texan Theater, I tell you. I saw a few Roy Rogers movies over there. Also on the square was Porter Drugs and McWhorter Greenhaw Hardware. All of those were big deals around the square. Well, my aunt and uncle had the dry cleaners, AAA dry cleaners. Now, the A's didn't stand for anything. The A's didn't stand for anything, but that AAA dry cleaners gave their business the position of being the first dry cleaners that you'd see when you opened the Yellow Pages. Y'all remember Yellow Pages, don't you? That device we used to have when we wanted to look something up and see if it was there and get the phone number. We don't use Yellow Pages anymore. But back in those days, if you were the first one listed under that category, as they were in Mesquite Yellow Pages, that you're more likely to get that phone call or to get that business. Well, this morning, we have triple A message for you today. We've got three A's we're going to look at. And the first A is the first point of the sermon. Number one, attitude. Attitude. That doesn't surprise anybody, does it? Did we talk about attitude? You remember the story of the 10 lepers that in the Gospel of Luke, they had this loathsome, deadly disease. They met Jesus. Jesus just spoke the word and they were healed. And they were totally healed. I mean, free of leprosy. And they all were just left except for one. Came back, didn't they? Only one out of the 10 came back and fell at the feet of Jesus. And he said, "Oh, thank you, Lord, for delivering me and saving me and healing me." He was thankful. He was thankful because he had an attitude of gratitude. Have you noticed that folks that are always thankful are folks that always have a great attitude? You notice that? Have you noticed that folks that never have a good attitude are rarely ever thankful? They're always focusing on the negative. And the folks that are thankful with good attitudes, they're focusing on God's blessing. They're focusing on the good things in life. Our scripture text that we looked at earlier says it best. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will for every Christian, all of us, to give thanks in everything. In every situation, good or bad. We're not thanking Him for the bad things, but we're thanking Him in the midst of the bad things. You're still my Savior. In the midst of all that's going wrong, I know you've got this, God. I know you're with me. Bad days do come, don't they? They come to all of our lives at different times. You know it's a bad day. You know it's a bad day when you're stuck in traffic and the horn on your car gets stuck and you can't get it to go off and you look up and you're behind a group of Hell's Angels. Now you know that's a bad day when that's happening to you. That's a bad day. You know it's a bad day when you sink your teeth. You just sink your teeth in that big juicy steak and your teeth stay there. You know that's a bad day when that happens. You know it's a bad day. I know this has never happened to anybody in this room. But you know it's a bad day when you go into Walmart and you get there and for the life of you, you cannot remember what you went in that store for. You have no idea what the purpose was going to that store. When that happens, you're having a bad day. As a Christian, as you follow Jesus with all your heart, we give Him praise. We give Him thanks. Even when we're having a terrible day. Even when we're having a terrible week. Even maybe we're having a terrible year. We still remain thankful in our heart for every situation. regardless of how bad things may seem to you, God wants to use whatever you're going through, He wants to use it to move you toward a heart of thanksgiving. So that in spite of everything, you can still say, I thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Matthew Henry was a famous Bible scholar and teacher. In fact, in my library, I've got the complete set of Matthew Henry's commentary that was given to me by my home church pastor I mentioned earlier, Reverend Wayne Brashear. I treasure having the commentary because they're wonderful and because they came from him. But once this man, Matthew Henry, he was accosted by thieves and he was robbed. And he wrote these words in his diary. Listen to the words he wrote after he was robbed by thieves. He says these words, I am so thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my money, they didn't take my life. Third, because although they took everything I had, it wasn't very much. And fourth, it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. Now there's perspective, isn't it? There's looking in the midst of something terrible happened and yet still looking at all the things that he had to be thankful for. So I ask you today, do you thank him in the bad times as well as the good? Do you thank him in the midst of trouble as much as you thank him in the midst of victory and triumph? We ought to be able to give thanks regardless of how bad the day is going, because a Christian, a believer, thanksgiving should be an everyday attitude of gratitude. And that should be our first response in every situation, an attitude of gratitude. Look at this next scripture. We have it on PowerPoint for you. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, 15 and 16. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Oh, praise God for that. Thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Listen to what the writer was saying. We're pressed, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, we're struck down. It doesn't matter. We're still going to give thanks to God. What a great reminder for all of us today. Well, that takes us to the second point, the second A of this triple A sermon today. And that second point is attitude of gratitude busters. And you can see them listed there. The first one is conceit. Conceit. Conceit's the attitude of pride, isn't it? The attitude of pride. Conceit and pride say, you know, I deserve what I have. I've worked for it. I've earned it. How many times do you see commercials today that say that? You deserve it. You deserve this. And they just always want you to have this sense of entitlement. I'm entitled to this. I deserve it. Well, that's what pride does. Pride will destroy the attitude of gratitude because you think it's all about you. The second is a critical spirit that it's an attitude buster. Critical spirit or pettiness. You all have known people like this. It seems like they're constantly complaining. They're constantly focusing on what's wrong. They're constantly offering criticize. Well, I wouldn't have done it that way, or I don't think you did that right, or you know what I'm talking about. And there's nothing more that'll rob you of an attitude of gratitude is to be around somebody that's critical and complaining, or if you're like that yourself, always pointing out faults and issues and criticisms, complaining. You know, an attitude of gratitude is a habit. An attitude of gratitude is something that we just becomes a habit of who we are, just as much as a critical, complaining spirit can be a habit. And it can just destroy having a great attitude. Someone that is constantly critical and complaining and negative, they're never satisfied, they're never content, life is never quite what it should be in their mind. Rather than being humbly grateful, they are grumbly and hateful. I want to say that again. Rather than being humbly grateful, they're grumbly and hateful. And we don't like being around folks like that. Instead of grumbling about not what having what we want, we should be thankful that we didn't get what we deserved. Because what we deserved, Jesus took on the cross on Calvary. Every sin, the judgment of God, Jesus took it all. That's what we deserve. We should stop and say, oh, thank you, God, I didn't get what I deserve because of grace that flows from Calvary. Well, the third one is carelessness. What I mean by that is that we can get so accustomed to God's blessings that they don't mean much to us because we just come accustomed to it. We become careless about all the blessings of God. Let me give you an example. If you went out tonight and there were no clouds in the sky, you'd look up in the stars after the sun goes down, and you see all the stars of the heavens. They'd be beautiful if you looked out at night. They're there every night, aren't they? Whether you can see them or not, they're there. Now, can you imagine if there was a change and the stars were only visible one day a year? And on that one night a year, the whole world would stop, wouldn't they? Everybody in the world would sleep out in their yard or in the park somewhere and look up in the sky because for that one night, one time out of the whole year, wow, we get to see these stars. It would just be like, this is incredible. This is beautiful. It's wonderful if it happened once a year. But it's there every night, isn't it? And it's just as incredible and beautiful and wonderful, but we're so used to it, it has very little meaning to us. Another good example of that is when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They were starving, they were complaining, they were grumbling to Moses, they didn't have any food. They said, it had been better for us to stay in Egypt than die out here in the desert. We need food. You remember the miracle God gave them? He gave them the miracle of manna. You remember that old song, Sugar in the Morning, Sugar in the Evening, Sugar at Supper Time? That's an old song, isn't it? I'll give you the rest of the song anyway. You know the song. Well, the children of Israel had that, except it wasn't sugar, it was manna. It's manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna at supper time. They had manna 3 days for every meal, every day. But it was a miracle because all they had to do is wake up and they walk out there and manna was like bread. And you think about it, every day I'm going to wake up and all the bread, all the food I need is just laying on the ground. I'm just going to collect it up and store it and eat it for that day and tomorrow morning it's going to be there again. What a miracle! And yet, the children of Israel begin to grumble and complain. They got so tired of that manna. Can't we have anything else? Manna, manna, manna. I'm so tired of manna. They were complaining about a miracle. The first day that God gave it to them, they were celebrating. They were so thankful. Oh, look at this. We've got food. What a wonderful God we serve. Being careless about our blessings. Being careless about our blessings. It'll bring a dissatisfied heart. It'll kill the attitude of gratitude. And it actually becomes ingratitude, doesn't it? Oh, God, help us to pause and think of all the blessings and to give Him thanks and to bless His name because all He's done for us. So we've examined the first two A's of the triple A's. We looked at attitude. We looked at attitude busters. Let's look at the last A, and that's altitude. Altitude. Pastor, what are you talking about? You've heard this old saying. In fact, we have it on PowerPoint for you. It's not your aptitude but your attitude that determines your altitude. Y'all have heard that before, haven't you? I can tell you for many years in banking, over 30 years, and I hired a lot of folks, and sadly I had to fire a few folks, but I would much rather have somebody that maybe wasn't as smart as the other guy, but they had a great attitude, than somebody who's brilliant and they got a bad attitude. Somebody that's got a good attitude is going to go a lot farther in life even though they might not have quite the brains that somebody else has got. If you understand what I'm saying? It's your attitude that determines your altitude, how high you go, how far you go, more than it is your aptitude. And sometimes we just need perspective. We need a point of reference, don't we, to really understand everything. Reference points help us see things more clearly, don't they, and appreciate them more clearly. What I'm talking about, let me give an example of this letter that this young girl wrote in college to her mother and father. Now listen to this letter this young girl wrote. Dear Mom and Dad, I'm very sorry I've been so long in writing. Unfortunately, all my stationery was destroyed the night our dorm was set on fire by demonstrators. I'm out of the hospital now, and the doctors say my eyesight should return sooner or later. the wonderful boy, Bill, who rescued me from the fire, kindly offered to share his apartment with me until my dorm room is rebuilt. He comes from a grand family, so you won't be surprised when I tell you we're going to be married in a short while. In fact, you've always wanted a grandchild, and you'll be glad to know that you'll be grandparents next month. And then the letter says P.S. Y'all remember writing a letter and putting P.S. at the end? That means postscript. Like after I've written the letter, I thought of something else I need to tell you. At the bottom of the letter it says P.S. Please disregard the above practice in creative writing. There was no fire. I haven't been to the hospital. I'm not pregnant. I don't even have a boyfriend. But I did get a D in French and an F in chemistry, and I just wanted you to have perspective about it. Now, did that give those? That gave that mom and dad a little perspective, didn't it? One moment they thought she was blind in a terrible fire and was going to have a baby, going to get married. And all of a sudden, the D in French and the F in chemistry didn't mean quite so much, did it? Perspective. The attitude of gratitude will change your perspective. Let me just tell you, if you have an attitude of gratitude, your perspective will be different. You won't grovel and gripe and complain, but you will glory in the presence of God with praise and thanksgiving because of that gratitude. If you feel like life is closing in on you, if you feel like every door seems to be shut, then praise God. We rise above the worries of life. We rise to a new altitude, so to speak. Spiritual altitude, I'm talking about. We rise to a new altitude when we have a heart of thanksgiving and praise. Our altitude of gratitude takes us up off the ground, so to speak. It takes us up high where we can get a new perspective. You're going to get a new perspective when you've got a different altitude. Even sometimes through our tears, in the midst of our situation, we'll see a sovereign God who loves us and has a plan and a purpose for our lives. So in conclusion today, having a thankful heart, expressing gratitude, it's the mark of a glowing, joyful, happy, victorious Christian, isn't it? That's what we should all desire to be in our lives. Psalm 92 and verse 1 says that it's good to give thanks to the Lord. Oh, it's good to give thanks to the Lord. This attitude of gratitude, it'll change your life. It'll shield you from criticism. It'll protect you from pessimism. It'll draw you closer to God, and it'll draw the Lord closer to you. I know there's times when it just seems impossible to give thanks and to praise God, but remember, the Scripture says it's the will of God to give thanks in every situation. In every situation, we pause and we say, I'm finding something to be thankful for, to worship God. In Philippians 4 and 6, we have the Scripture for you on the PowerPoint. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Oh, that should be our heart's desire. Lord, help us that when we pray, to have a heart of thanksgiving. And then that next verse in Colossians 4 and 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You know, so often we have our prayer list. We have a prayer list in our bulletin. We have a prayer list at home, and we go through that prayer list. I need sometimes to stop and say, I need to have a praise list. Yes, I need that prayer list. Yes, I want to remember those that I need to pray for. But I need to have a list of all the things I should be praising God for and thanking God for. Let's add to our praise list just as we add to our prayer list. In the summer of 2017, just a little over 3 years ago, Tiffany Johnson and her husband JJ left the kids behind so they could have a little time to themselves, and they enjoyed a Caribbean cruise, and on that cruise, they had a chance to explore Nassau, Bahamas. They went snorkeling. They took a boat. They had a boat that took them out further out to a coral reef, and they went snorkeling. As they were snorkeling, Tiffany's husband, JJ, became a little upset at his stomach, didn't feel good, so he swam back to the boat but Tiffany stayed out there snorkeling in the coral reef. And suddenly, as she's snorkeling, she felt like she bumped into something. And when she turned to see what it was, she was face to face with a shark. And suddenly that shark had her whole arm in his mouth. And of course, fear came over her. She suddenly thought of her three children and her husband. And when she yanked her arm, the fight began. That shark began to twist and pull and cut down on her as the arm was in the shark's jaw. And suddenly, blood was everywhere. She started screaming. And when the shark's jaw opened, she looked down and her arm was completely gone. There was just a little nub left up near her shoulder. She flipped over, yanked her snorkeling mask off, began to scream. And she screamed, "Help! Help me, Jesus!" She swam back to the boat. Blood was in the water. Her husband jumped in to swim out to her to help her get back into the boat. They tightly wrapped her bleeding stump with a towel that was in the boat. It was a 30-minute ride from where they were back to the land. She was taken to the hospital in Nassau. The next day, she was flown back to North Carolina for additional surgery. Most of her right arm was gone. Several doctors told Tiffany that she should have bled out in that boat, that they couldn't believe that she made it 30 minutes without bleeding out. All she had was just an old salty towel wrapped around the stump of her arm and faith in God as she was in that boat riding back to the shore. Tiffany would tell you that she's been through many trials and many bumps along the way, but that God has been so good to cover her mind and her heart with His supernatural peace and love and strength. I want you to look at this next image. It's the image of Tiffany. You can see she now has a prosthetic right arm. But listen to what this young woman now says. Listen to these words. "From the very beginning when the attack happened, one of the prayers that I prayed on the boat was, 'God, use this. Somehow use this.' Since the attack, I've seen God use my story over and over to show people who He is. I've cried many tears in thankfulness that He chose me to carry this burden and trusted me in this. I'm thankful that God can use any situation in our lives to save people and to bring glory to His name, even in a shark attack." Amen to that. Look at these next words on the PowerPoint. "Giving thanks will not always change my circumstances, but thanksgiving will change what my circumstances do to me." Let that just sink in a minute. Giving thanks will change what our circumstances do to us. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the best way to express your gratitude to the God who made you is to confess your sins and to invite Christ into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior. The psalmist said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits?" And then the psalmist answers his own question. He says, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." Have you taken the cup of salvation today? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Is He your Savior? Have you trusted in Him with all your heart? I'll tell you, when you give your life to Jesus and when you give Him everything, you'll be eternally grateful that you did. And we'll enjoy, just as my aunt and uncle's dry cleaners enjoyed a special position in the Yellow Pages because it said AAA, can I tell you that we're going to enjoy a special preference position if we remember that attitude and attitude busters and altitude will put us in a special position of worship and praise and joy and peace and trust in Jesus unlike anything else in our life will ever do. Aren't you thankful for that today? Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank you, Father. We